Today's scripture comes from Matthew 14, 22 through 33, which can be found on page 692 in the Pew Bibles. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him, to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you in the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
And just in case you were worried, no, I'm not going to pull a Clint Eastwood and preach to the chairs. When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song, world-famous tenor Luciano Pavarotti relates. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, "Shall I be a teacher or a singer?" "Luciano," my father replied, "if you try to sit in two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair." I chose one. It took seven years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance. It took another 7 years to reach the Metropolitan Opera. And now, I think, whatever it is, laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it. Commitment, that's the key. Choose one chair. Oftentimes, as Christians, we find ourselves trying to straddle two chairs, one of being of Christ and the other of being of the world, the chair of belief and the chair of disbelief. The Apostle Peter is a prime example of someone who was trying to sit on two chairs. And we see Peter's pattern of faith, then doubt, and then redemption in this passage. And today we're going to be unpacking these moments and seeing how they can steer us from being the one straddling two chairs. First, we come to Peter's moment of faith. Peter's moment of faith came when he got out of the boat. In Matthew 14, 24, we read that the disciples are out on a boat in the middle of a lake in inclement weather. And this isn't the first time that this has happened. In Matthew 8, we read that the disciples are out in a boat and the weather is so bad, they feel like they are almost about to drown. But the difference between this story, or Matthew 8 and Matthew 24, is that in Matthew 8, their Lord and Savior was sitting there in front of the boat with them. Now they are alone in a dark sea at night with the winds whipping around them. And they are beginning to panic. And then when their Lord and Savior Jesus arrives, it even makes them go into a bigger panic because they think he's a ghost. Only one disciple, Peter, asks if it is truly Jesus. And when Jesus says, "Come," Peter gets out of the boat and walks to him. But why would anyone want to get out of a perfectly good boat, even if it was in a storm, to walk or step out into the unknown? Everyone knows that it is safer in the boat, but that's not where Jesus calls Peter to be. And so Peter follows his instructions and gets out. At times, we often only focus on Jesus and Peter in this passage, but can you imagine what the other disciples were thinking? "Oh, there goes Peter, just showing off again, showboating." But how would you feel if you were in the boat? we find other moments of faith in the Bible when it comes to someone who's under an extreme test. A great example is in the book of 1 Kings, we read that all of Israel is literally trying to sit on two chairs. They are wavering between following God and following the pagan god Baal. And there's only one prophet of God in Israel, and that's Elijah. And God gives him a seemingly impossible task. He challenges him to challenge the 450 prophets of Baal to prepare an offering, and then whosoever God is truly God will set the offering ablaze. What faith Elijah showed in this moment, 1 versus 450. The prophets of Baal go first, and they are failing miserably. They even go so far as to cut themselves ritually with knives and spears, and yet their offering remains cold on the rocks. And when it's Elijah's turn to prepare his offering, he intentionally makes God's job even harder by soaking the wood and then soaking the offering. But this isn't even a challenge for God, and the fire from heaven is so hot, it consumes the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the excess water. And when the people see this, they fall on their faces and cry, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Elijah's faith was strong, strong enough to trust that God would be with him. When I was in college, I met a man by the name of Josh Guthrie. Josh was a few years older than I was, but we were in several of the same ministry classes. Josh was part of Geneva's missionary aviation program, training to become a missionary pilot. You see, Josh had been a youth pastor serving at a church in Pittsburgh for 5 years when he felt God calling him out of the boat and to do something extraordinary. After he graduated, Josh hoped to begin working with a missionary group in the hopes of becoming a missionary pilot. In one of his blog posts, Josh said, "This new opportunity will allow me to spread my wings and fly both literally and figuratively." And it was Josh's dream to use airplanes to take comfort and hope to the hurting people around the world who were beyond roads. For Josh, he had to choose between two chairs: the comfortable chair of a suburban youth ministry or the cramped jump seat in the cockpit of a single-engine aircraft. But how is God calling us out of the boat and to show our faith? Earlier this month, during our worship services, we had two of the missions groups that our church supports come in and talk to us and give us specific needs that they have. To jog your memory, Joshua's Haven is in need of food and meals. They are in need of barbers and hairdressers to give their residents haircuts. And soon, they will be in need of doctors, nurses, and PAs when they open up their health clinic. Our friends in the Salvation Army are in need of help providing holiday dinners to the needy. They are in need of donations and help sorting coats for their winter project bundle up. And they are always in need of help finding bell ringers for their Red Kettle campaign. But if you don't want to be involved in something like that, just look at our youth this morning. Each one of them who are sitting on the stage stepped out of the boat and got out of their comfort zone to help lead at worship today. And I couldn't be more proud of them. But it's easy to follow Jesus when we are focused. But what happens when we lose our focus and we have a moment of doubt? When Peter is getting close to Jesus, I like to imagine that a particular large gust of wind or thunder rolls and makes him take his eyes off Jesus, if only temporarily, and he immediately begins to sink. Personally, I think I would have been more engrossed in the fact that I was walking on water to notice anything other than Jesus, but I'm not Peter, and I don't know where he was. In one of his sermons, noted theologian C.H. Spurgeon says, "There's only one word in the original phrase, 'O you of little faith.' The Lord virtually addresses Peter by the name Little Faith. In one word, Peter is strong in faith on board the ship, strong in faith even as he walks on the waters. But that unexpected gust of wind, which came howling down from the mountains, took him aback, staggered him, and caused his faith to reel. Then the waters yielded to his feet, and as he began to sink, he discovered his own weakness. And he had his discovery confirmed by the verdict of his Lord, who surnamed him Little Faith. Although we may start out with good intentions, sometimes our own faith falters. And there are times in the lives of every Christian when we feel like the rug has been pulled out from under us. And it's not just Peter in the Bible who we see have these moments of doubts and falter in their faith. Literally, moments after Elijah had his mountaintop experience where he defeated the prophets of Baal, his rug was pulled out of him when he learned that the evil King Ahab and Queen Jezebel said that they were going to have him killed. In 1 Kings 19, we read about Elijah throwing up his hands in defeat. And it says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Briefly back to my acquaintance, Josh. After he graduated, Josh, too, hit a moment of doubts. One of Josh's main frustrations was that he wanted so badly to be on the missions field, but he could not. You see, a lot of people who want to be missionary aviators and pilots get done with their training, but they're in debt, and they don't have the flying experience that missionary organizations require. Josh, always trusting in God, went to him and prayed for clarity about the uncertainty of his future and the uncertainty of his debts. As Christians, we are often buffeted in the storms of life, and like a tree in a hurricane, our faith is bent nearly to the breaking point. But this doesn't mean we have failed. When we are apprehensive about the troubles around us, we need to remember that He is the only one who can really help, and He keeps us from breaking. And sometimes we need to remember that it takes a trial to provide us with the clarity that we need. And finally, we come to the moment of redemption in our story. We've all been there, sinking fast into the depths. When all seems lost, God will be there with us to help us carry on. And the simplest prayer saved Peter, and it can save us too. As Peter sunk beneath the waves, he cried out the hasty prayer, Lord, save me! And Jesus reaches out and catches him, chastising him for having little faith. Peter would later find clarity in this situation, as well as several of the other struggles he faced. In his own words in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, Peter says, In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. In this verse, the key word is trials, and the NIV translates it as trials, and the original Greek word is a word called perasmos. And what's interesting is this word can also be translated as temptation, calamity, or affliction. But what's also interesting is that this word itself can simultaneously mean both temptation and test, depending on the context. The positive being test, and temptation being the negative. Elijah had his moment of redemption, literally speaking to God from a cave. And in that moment, God assured him that he isn't the only person in Israel who still follows him as Lord. And with this assurance, Elijah leaves the wilderness and continues doing God's will eventually calling Elisha to lead the people of Israel. Instead of allowing himself to sink, Josh rose above the storm. After graduating, he found a missionary organization called the Indigenous Peoples Technology and Education Center, or ITEC, and he started a program there for burgeoning missionary pilots. The program allowed people like him to pay off their debts and to log flight hours. Josh kept his perspective in this, saying in a blog post, "It's hard to say what might happen. Your guess is as good as mine, but tomorrow is another day, and maybe more clarity is on its way." And for Josh, a pivotal moment came when he began flying a 1977 Mali aircraft, which had been donated to the missionary organization. "She will be my ride in the sky this coming year as I create this program to get missionary pilot candidates out of debt." Josh used every moment he could to help others. Even in his own moment of redemption, he found a way to help other missionary pilots. In Psalm 34, verse 17, we read, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." And each of us needs to be willing to cry out to the Lord, and that at times can be a humbling experience. And sometimes we need to humble ourselves to the point of asking others for help, for guidance, perhaps bearing your soul to the pastor, or even seeking professional Christian counseling. While we may be uncomfortable or awkward with this situation of going to others for help, it's certainly better than the alternative of sinking below the waves. The story of Peter walking on water is a microcosm of life and faith and the perfect analogy for our Christian walk, both in the positive and the negative. Today we've seen Peter's pattern of faith and doubt and redemption and how moments like this in our lives keep us from being the one straddling two chairs. I know that there are those of you who are firmly in the chair of faith, and that's great. But to those of you who are straddling the chair of faith and the chair of doubt, I challenge you with this, and then I invite you with this. Shift into the chair of faith. But be warned, having faith isn't a comfortable, easy chair. As we've seen, the chair of faith can be a chair of suffering from severe trials, as our faith is constantly under fire from the world. But we know that there is no faith worth having that hasn't been tested by fire. And it is my prayer that on this Youth Sundays, that your struggles will not destroy your faith, but instead strengthen it. A faith that has been put through the refiner's fire becomes more precious than gold because it lasts. But for those who choose the correct chair and come out on the other side, paradise awaits. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we close in this time, I would just ask that you open our hearts, that we might look for ways to serve you, Father God. And Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are here who may not be fully sitting in the chair of faith, that you would move in their hearts, that they would make the decision to follow you and be a believer. And Father God, I praise you and thank you for this day, and I praise you and thank you for your Son. And in his name we pray, amen.